Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Let me read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And of course, I'm breaking into a sentence. The complete sentence goes on, indeed, to the end of verse 4, really. But I'm breaking in here because there's so much material here. But there's much more than I'm going to be able to speak on in this short discourse. I'm just giving thoughts on Titus, seed thoughts. Now, in the previous discourse, we saw the scene being set by the apostle Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect. He's speaking there of the objective faith, the gospel itself, and subjective faith, the actual trusting and believing. The sinner trusts Christ, receives the gospel, welcomes the gospel, welcomes Christ. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, the knowledge, the system, and the actual knowing, the experience of this knowledge, this system, this gospel, Christ. And it all leads to godliness, spirituality, Christ-likeness. Well, that's setting the scene. Now Paul expands somewhat. A faith and knowledge. He's now taking up this idea of faith. The actual objective faith. The actual gospel and knowledge. And he's taking up the objective knowledge. And the experience of it, of course, as well. And the trusting of it as well. And he speaks of this faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. Faith. Knowledge. The experience of faith and knowledge, and the faith, the gospel, and the knowledge, the great system of the gospel, the whole doctrine of the gospel, the whole revelation of the gospel. This is what Paul is speaking about. And he says it rests on, it's built upon, it's established upon, it's founded upon, it rises from, it's got a substantial basis. You see, the gospel which I'm preaching, the gospel which Paul was preaching and writing about, what the scriptures reveal to us, it's not a sentimental sort of make-up thing as you go along, an ad hoc kind of make-it-up as we go from one stage to another. It's not like a pinball machine just dodging all over the place and hitting and bouncing about. God has planned something. God has revealed something. It's substantial. It's solid. It's resting on. It's built on. It's got a solid foundation. And what is that foundation? On the hope of eternal life. Now, hope in the Bible does not mean wishful thinking. It means confident expectation. It means assurance. Paul speaks here of the assurance, the guarantee, the absolute confidence here, the expectation, the certainty. This is the kind of word I'm looking for. The gospel I preach is not a if and but and maybe, a yes and no gospel. It's definite. It's yea and amen. It's definite. It's fixed. It's founded. It's established. And it all based on this hope, this confidence, this assurance of eternal life. There is everlasting life here. For all who are in Christ, that life is everlasting bliss. There's everlasting joy. And it's all founded upon this gospel. And it's all the fundamental point here. And where does it all come from? It comes from God. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope, the assurance, the confidence of eternal life, which God promised. The word of God, you see, the oath of God, the determination of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the wisdom of God, the justice of God, the knowledge of God is God's word, is God's promise. There are two very interesting things in the rest of this verse. The hope that we have, the eternal life that we have, brother and sister, the assurance of it all, the system we preach, the system we believe, the system we trust, the revelation of Christ in the system, the person we trust, Christ, the knowledge of it, the experience of it, and the whole revelation of this knowledge, it all flows from God. It's not from man or from philosophers or Plato or Aristotle or Socrates or Muhammad or, you know, whatever it might be. It's from God himself. Paul didn't make it up. Galatians 1 says, it was revealed to me by Jesus Christ. Of course it has to be because it's come from God. But there's two interesting things here. God promised. Well, yes. So who did he promise to? Well, he promised to Abraham. Well, he did, but that's not what he's talking about. He promised to Moses. Yes, he did. He promised to Paul. Yes, he promised to Adam. Yes, he did. But that's not what he's saying here. No, no, no. God promised before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, what a wonderful phrase. Before the beginning of time. My mind boggles at this. I can't understand it. You see, I'm a creature of time. My computer has got a date on it. It's got a time on it. My watch has got its timing. I've got calendars. I've got diaries. I've got appointments. I'm aging. I've got a birthday. I've got a dying day. I don't know what it is, but I'm aging. The days are passing by. The months are passing. The sun rises and sets. Time, time, time. I'm a creature of time. I can't think of anything else but time. Before and after. I have to think in like this, in these terms. But here I'm introduced to something outside of my realm altogether. God promising before the beginning of time. It's not promising to the elect. It's not promising to Abraham or Moses, or it's not even promising to angels. It's before the beginning of time, before there was any creature. It's God promising to himself, within himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit promising, counsel together, agreeing on this great gospel, this great revelation. And we know from other scriptures, many scriptures pour into this, is all for the purpose of glorifying God's name in Christ and the saving of sinners. The bringing of sinners into this everlasting life. The knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God promised before the beginning of time. Even to himself. The agreement that was made there. That the Son would come into the world and die for these sinners. That the Spirit would come and apply the work of the Son to these sinners. And God marking out these sinners, the Father marking out these sinners. And it's all God promising to himself. And there's a wonderful phrase I've missed out. God who does not lie. Isn't that terrific? Unbeliever, God doesn't lie. He's warned you of judgment. He doesn't lie. He's warned you that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And he does not lie. He promises you salvation if you will trust the Son, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not lie. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Christ. And he does not lie. He cannot lie. He will not lie. Now, Paul doesn't need to say this. God doesn't need to say this, but it's there for my assurance. It's like John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Yes, it's a, if it were not so, I would have told you. That's a very wonderful thought. If it were not so, I would have told you. It's another assurance to me. God has promised. And Paul says, God who cannot lie. God who does not lie. God who will not lie. My brother and sister, we can rest on this. Our hope is fixed on the assurance of God's great purposes. his great purpose, shall I say, which he decreed at the beginning, no, before the beginning of time. And this is the foundation of all our hope and assurance. All that we speak of Christ and everlasting salvation flows from this great counsel of God. I'm going to close with a hymn by John Kent and then the reading of a passage of scripture which I think is most relevant to what we've been thinking about. This is our assurance, brother. This is our assurance, sister. Let us go on in it. Let us rejoice in it. It's not an if and but and maybe gospel. Is founded on the solid promise of God within himself. This is how John Kent put it. Jehovah in counsel resolved to fulfill the scheme from eternity laid in his will, a scheme too profound for an angel to pry, and all for the lifting of Jesus on high. 'Twas not from the creature salvation took place, the whole was of God to the praise of his grace, and all to his glory shall tend by and by to accomplish the lifting of Jesus on high. His wisdom contrived the adorable plan, grace, mercy, and peace, and goodwill towards man. The great three in one did the same ratify, and all for the lifting of Jesus on high. Here all the perfections of deity shine, love, wisdom, and power, and goodness divine. His justice and grace received honour thereby. 'Twas all for the lifting of Jesus on high. So wrote John Kent, and what a wonderful hymn it is, too. What a solid truth. Now let me close with the words of the apostle, as in found in Romans 11, verse 33 and on. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments, and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.